Spirit Radio Podcasts.
You'll never think of the term active retirement the same again after you hear about our next two guests. Now, they are from South Africa, and when Don took early retirement from his job as an engineer, it wasn't to say goodbye forever to building projects. Not at all. They have founded a charity called Hands on Houses. That was in 2007. And while they are possibly busier than ever, they might tell you that it doesn't feel like work because it's a labor of love. Now, in the studio to tell us more, we have Don and Margie Cook. They're the founders of Hands on Houses. They've been married 45 years, they just told me. So it's amazing. They're still smiling. They still love each other. And they have a wonderful project that they've been working on. You're very welcome to the show. So tell us, can you tell us just a little bit about yourselves and how you got started on this wonderful project?
Well, first of all, Jackie, thank you so much for having us. It's wonderful to be in Ireland, and it's wonderful to be able to share what God's called us to do in this season of our lives. We lived in South Africa as a normal family with four children involved in local community and local church and local school, greater family and friends, and never thought we would ever leave Cape Town and the beauty of South Africa. But 20 years ago, through a dream, God took us all the way to Hawaii, and we lived and worked there for 10 years. And then God moved us to another continent, Asia, to Southeast India, where we have been building low-cost houses primarily for widows and disabled people out in the villages south of a big city called Chennai on the East Coast.
Wow. Wow. So tell us a little bit about where you got the idea to start the charity. Like, where did this come from? Was this who got who into trouble with that?
I think this is Don's one.
As an engineer, my dad was in construction, and he was always talking about making cement out of seawater. And I was looking at that. And then a tsunami hit Indonesia and southern India in 2004. And a friend of mine said to me, look, stop talking about making cement. There are people that need houses right away. So that sort of got us going. We thought we'd go to Indonesia, but that didn't work out. Then we went to an Indian friend of ours said, come out and build houses there. So we just sort of really followed the visions that other people had for our lives and walked through the doors that opened and ended up working with a local pastor who had been praying, I think, 15 years ago. Prior to our arrival, for somebody to come and build houses for people in the villages.
Wow.
So I only discovered that 5 years after we'd started, but he'd been praying for that. And
were an answer to his prayer.
Yeah.
So why did you pick the area that you picked? Because, I mean, you hear about things like Habitat for Humanity, things like that. Why did you came up with your own idea? Yeah. What inspired you to come up with your own idea and not just tack on to somebody else? And why did you choose the area you chose?
It was really just a door that opened, and as I said, people had visions for our lives. So we had a friend who had this vision for building houses, and then our Indian friend said, come out to India.
And then
the local pastor said, come and build houses in the villages. And so
that's
going
amazing.
Through the door that opened
that's
at the time.
That really is amazing. You know, and it reminds me of how important it is to say yes to God, because you could have said no at any of one of those stages, and then none of the blessing would have flowed for all of these people that are being blessed. Yeah. Tell us about the people who are blessed by your project. What difference has it made in the lives of the people who you're building houses for?
Well, a lot of widows in India are young. A lot of men commit suicide, sadly, and leave young widows with young families. In fact, we built a house for a young widow called Devi recently. She had three tiny children. Her husband committed suicide when she was pregnant with a third one. And she was just living in a little shack alongside another family shack. And so she got a home. And that will make a huge difference to her children growing up. They'll have a safe place to do their homework. They will probably go right through school and get decent jobs. And in a society like the villages out in India, where 70% of people in India live, of the 1.2 billion, You don't have insurance policies for when you grow older. Your insurance is your children. They look after you when you are old. And so for Devi to have children that are going to be able to study and get decent jobs, she will be looked after as an old woman. Then you get a lot of old women who need homes. They live in car sheds. One old woman used to go to bed every night and say she never slept properly because each side of her shack was open and she was worried that a snake would come in and bite her in the middle of the night. Now she can go into her home and lock the door and be safe.
You know, it's the things that like that you don't even think of living in a Western culture.
Yes.
That are just such an important thing to them. And you would never even think that being a worry here.
No.
You brought a book along today.
Yes.
And thank you so much. It's a beautiful, the photography in it is absolutely beautiful. And there's a picture of a house of what somebody would have lived in and then a house that was built for them. And the difference is just, I mean, you're literally talking about a straw hut versus a stable building with walls and doors and windows. That's just awesome.
It really is. And those little huts, the roofs disintegrate slowly. They have scorpions and snakes that live up there, but they disintegrate. And then to roof a hut costs money, and they have to go into debt
To get that done. Mm-hmm.
To buy that roof. So
that's not going to last again.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So how many houses have you completed so far? Do you know?
Yes, it's about just over 150 houses.
Wow.
And we've built about three churches as well with the pastor that we work with.
And all of this costs money. How do you fund? How does the project get funded? Because that's a lot. I'm sure that's a lot of money.
Yeah. Through donations, people donate. A house costs $4,000 US, and we just did a currency conversion. That's about 3,700 euros or pounds sterling. People donate houses. We do a specific fundraiser from the middle of November till the end of each year called the Christmas Challenge. We challenge people to donate a house, or their church to donate a house, or their business to donate a house, or to challenge their community to donate. And people do all sorts of creative fundraisers and send in money for houses. But that's how it's all through personal donations or from churches or businesses.
And how can people get their hands on this book, Hands on Houses? How would they
would they get a book? That's a good question, Jackie. We usually hand them out personally, but they could go onto our website, which is www.handsonhouses.com, and request one and give us an address, and we could mail one.
Okay, and is that the same website that people would get in touch with if they wanted to get involved in the project as well?
Yes, it's got all the information, what we do, where we do it, details of our son and daughter-in-law who work with us. That's Andy, who we brought with us today. They work with us, and our daughter-in-law did the layout of that book. And it's got any donation details. We also have volunteers who come out and work with us.
I was going to ask about that because I was wondering, you know, you probably don't build the houses all by yourself. There's probably a team that gets involved. How do people get involved on with this project? Do you have a lot of volunteers?
We've had quite a few volunteers over the years, and they've varied from groups of up to 9 or 10 people that have come out to one or two that have come in, and they've done all sorts of things, and really just... some have just prayed for us, kept us company. And our primary idea is to get people eternal dwellings. You know, so the house is an act of love. Mm. We let them know that this is from Jesus. You know, that Jesus loves you and we love you and here's your house. Yeah.
Oh,
but
wow.
Our desire is that they actually end up getting eternal dwellings. And so quite a few of the people that get houses are Hindus. They're not Christians. And so the best thing any volunteer can do is to reach out to people in the vicinity, because when there are these foreigners working on houses, a crowd forms normally. You know, people come to see what's going on, and that's a great opportunity for people to just get to know each other. And it's quite amazing now, that people talk in a different language.
Now I get it, guys. Yeah. Now I'm getting it. Yeah. Now I'm the pennies really drop for me now. Yeah. Now I'm getting it. So hands on houses. I love this idea. So you're building the houses to show your love for the person, but your true interest is to give them a bigger picture of who really loves them, the God that loves them.
Yep. It's a demonstration of God's love. The pastor we work with, Pastor Jay Sheelan, has told us so many times that you can't go out there and speak about the love of God. You actually need to do something that's tangible evidence that God loves you. And so the houses, you can't really argue with that.
No, you can't. Because, I mean, we are supposed to be his hands and feet, aren't we? Yeah.
Yes.
And what you're doing is such a practical thing as well. There's a quote in the book here that I really like. It says, as well as our dream, hands-on houses is also the result of a vision of encouragement of others. So this whole thing started because others encouraged you to do it.
Yes.
And now you're encouraging others by giving them what they need so much. So let's just make it real clear. If people want to get involved, if they want to donate money, if they want to get involved as volunteers, how do they do that?
I think go to the website, handsonhouses.com, and there's their contact details, and we get people emailing us and saying, look, I'd like to know how I could, you know, when are you going to have volunteers again, or you know, can I donate? So the communication portal is through the website.
And you have this project that kicks off in November to raise...
Yes, it'll be the middle of November. It's around the American Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because of Thanksgiving and Christmas and just being thankful for what we've got and to give away some of that.
Well, what a great Christmas gift to give somebody, you know? I mean, pull your money together this, and instead of getting presents for everybody, give something that's really going to change
life. Yes, we do.
Really
we have families that do that.
Yeah.
And you can also PayPal, Jackie, you know, especially from a foreign country, like, you know, different countries. PayPal's a very easy way to donate.
To donate the money.
Yes.
And I'm sure you're looking for prayers all the time.
Always. It's wild out there. That's why I gave you the prayer cards.
I have a few of them here. We'll be using those for sure, passing those out.
We always need prayer.
Well, thank you so much for coming in this morning. We really, your story is amazing. The work you're doing is inspiring. And, you know, I've interviewed people like this before where they've retired and you think, okay, they've taken an early retirement, it's time to relax, but no. And I love it. I love what you guys are doing. You're out there changing lives, changing the world, and bringing people the love of Jesus. So keep it up. Well done.
Thank you so much, Jackie.
Yeah. So Don and Margie Cook, the founders of Hands on Houses, thank you so much for talking to us this morning.
And
we wish you all the best.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.